Hello, welcome to the Campus Bible Study Podcast. Join us each week as we hear from God's Word, as we seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all.
Welcome everyone to week 8 of the Campus Bible Study Q&A podcast. My name is Grace and I'm a trainee serving with the engineering faculty, and I'm joined this week with by Tim, one of our campus pastors, and Isaac, a trainee from the science faculty. Hello friends.
Hi Grace, hi Isaac. It's great to be back together after a strange week last week.
Yes, and we've had an exciting past weekend because we've had Easter, and lots of Easter mission things have been happening on campus during last week and over the weekend, with obviously our churches doing Easter Sunday and Good Friday services, and lots of opportunities to be inviting friends and telling them about the gospel. Do you guys have any stories that you'd like to share from Easter mission?
Yeah, I was really encouraged by how many of the science students were praying for their friends and went and asked them if they wanted to come join. A lot of their friends said no, but they still gave it a go. They were really keen to see their friends know Jesus, and a few came along to the Bible talks last week.
Cool.
And they're looking to read the Bible with them later.
That's really thankful. Easter's a great opportunity. I got to chat with some of the school dads about Jesus and the significance of Easter. And had an old friend come along to the Monday night talk, which was great to be able to chat more about the significance of Jesus' death for our sin and his resurrection. So really thankful for that, and heard a lot of really encouraging stories from the engineering faculty.
Yeah, I'm personally so excited to hear that a lot of our Bible study groups have been reading Uncovered John, which is one of the resources of the Gospel of John, and they've been reading it with non-Christian friends as well as first years, and so that's been really exciting, and being able to invite an Eng girl who comes from a Greek Orthodox background to the Tuesday TBT, the Bible Talks, have been really great, and yeah, hopefully starting to read Uncovered John with her alongside another fourth year Eng girl in a triplet. That's going to be super exciting this week.
They were sharing that one of the first year guys seems to have become a Christian in the last few weeks, which was a great joy. Another guy was sharing that one of his mates from high school came up to him and said, "Hey, can I join Campus Bible Study? Can I come along?" And he's been coming the last couple of weeks as well. So God's been doing some great things.
Yes.
It's been really encouraging.
Definitely. Well, we'll get stuck into the questions from this week, this week's TBT, which was preached on John chapters 13 to 17. Lots of chapters, lots of content. And so some of our questions, we'll start with Emily and Maddie's question. So they asked a very similar question on prayer, thinking about when we pray for friends to be saved. Whether he will answer those questions, and is that what Jesus means when he says being in line with, you know, his will? How would you go about answering that, Tim?
Yeah, they were listening well, and we did explore the bold promise that Jesus makes again and again. For example, in say chapter 14 and verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." It sounds like a blank check, and we're clarifying the talk that it doesn't just mean if you finish a prayer in Jesus' name, then it guarantees that God will do it. I suggested that asking in Jesus' name is actually, I guess, asking in line with Jesus' will as we're approaching God, kind of with that, the access of Jesus and expressing the desires of Jesus. I think it's a bit like when my kids come to me and say, "Mum said we can have dessert." It's not that the kids are expressing their own desire, though dessert is their own desire, but they're trying to say that this has the authority of what Mum has said, and I'm only saying this because Mum said it. And so in that same kind of vein, we go and pray to the Father saying, you know, we desire the things that Jesus has told us that he desires, the things that please you, the things that glorify you. And so Emily and Maddie have rightly picked up, what about when we pray for our friends to be saved? Isn't that God's will? Doesn't that mean that God must answer those prayers if what I'm saying and what Jesus is saying is right? We recognize that. Does that mean that God must save my friend John when I pray for John?
Yeah. we know that God loves the world. We read in John chapter 3, in the well-known John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we know that when we are praying for that God would save our friends, we are praying for something that God wants. He wants many people to believe in his son to have life. But we don't know who God has chosen to believe and have life ourselves. So we should pray for all of our friends. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's not wrong to pray for our friends by name, and that is a great thing to do. We've been doing that all term, actually, praying two for two friends for 2 minutes each day that God would save them. But I guess God hasn't promised to save our particular friends, but we are confident that he will save all that he has chosen. And so, which I think that kind of relates to another question we're going to come to a little bit later on. So, by all means, keep praying, Emily and Maddie, and for the rest of us, asking God to save, because that is what his desire is.
Yeah, thanks. That was really helpful. Sarah also had a question from John chapter 15, verse 2. She wanted to ask about the pruning that we hear about. So verse 2 of chapter 15 reads, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit," I mean, starting from verse 1 actually might be helpful, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit." And she was asking, what is this pruning that God does to branches that bear fruit?
It's a really interesting question, because we're trying to unpack an illustration that Jesus uses when he doesn't give a lot of extra information. Jesus isn't explicit about what the pruning involves. And so I guess we need to be a bit cautious. The purpose of the pruning is clear, that it may bear more fruit. And in the illustration, you kind of chop bits off vines, trees, that they may put their energy into producing more fruit. And so perhaps at a basic level, it seems to refer to God removing some things from his people, that they may bear more fruit in a way that is pleasing to him. Any thoughts about the passages that come to mind with that kind of a general idea?
Yeah, thinking about maybe Colossians 3, when we're reminded that we've been raised with Christ, and therefore we should put to death our old self and put on our new self as God's chosen ones. And so I wonder whether that that taking away of something could be our sinful desires, and whatever's earthly within us, we put off the old self, the old practices, so that we can be people who are, you know, seeking the things that are above, living the life that Christ has given us.
Yeah, it also reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about the discipline of the Lord, which seems to be, I guess, the way that God trains, disciplines, chastises his children as a mark of being the true children of God. And that discipline seems to be training us towards holiness. In verse 10, it talks about our earthly fathers discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but it later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. So perhaps it seems to be things that are a bit painful, perhaps through suffering, perhaps through other means that God uses to help us to put sin to death and to put on this fruit that is pleasing to God, holiness, righteousness, love. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. And kind of along this, a similar vine, similar similar path, Tracy asks, if we are the wrong branches that wither and are burnt, is this fixed?
Yeah, it's a good question. As we read just before in verse 2 about these branches that don't bear fruit are taken away by the Father and burned, we read later on. Any thoughts, Isaac? Is that a fixed reality?
Yeah, it's a genuine concern that if I'm the branch that is in 15 verse 6 will be thrown into the fire and burned. Is it, I can't change that. But I wonder, the constant refrain throughout John's gospel is believe and have life. I think John's making it really clear that if we come to Jesus for him for life, we can have life in Jesus. Jesus reminds us of that in chapter 15 when he says that if we abide in him, the true vine, we can have life. And there's a genuine concern for those who don't believe in the Son will be burned and thrown out. But we don't know that if we are those branches that will be burned. So the call is to come to Jesus for life.
I think that's really helpful. We've seen a few times, even in the prayer in John 17, but perhaps it's quite clear in chapter 6. Jesus says, both in verse 37, chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. There's this reality that some are chosen by God. They're given to Jesus, they come to Jesus, they believe in Jesus. But I take it we never know in this life that we're not one of those people. It seems to be the assurance that if we come and put our trust in Jesus, he has called us, he's chosen us, he's brought us to belong and to be united to Jesus. Because just a few verses later in verse 40, Jesus says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." It seems to be this open invitation. And so I think we want to say, how do you know if you are the wrong branch that isn't bearing fruit? I want to say you don't know, but as long as you're rejecting Jesus, you are facing his judgment, as you're saying, Isaac. And the invitation is to come, to repent, to believe, to pray, to bear fruit, to love. And the invitation seems open as long as there's life and breath and patience from the Lord before Jesus returns to judge.
Yeah, thanks. And next question is from Tim, and he asks, in light of the works as signs of Jesus' divinity in chapter 14, verse 11, how do we know the works in verse 12 are not supernatural?
Yeah, maybe if I read a couple of verses and you can tell us the answer, Grace. Jesus has been saying, he says to the disciples, they've been saying, you know, show us the Father. And then from verse 10, Jesus says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. The works there seem to show something about who Jesus is. Then we continue to what we looked at a bit in the talk this week, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So the question seems to be saying, are these works in verse 12, you know, from God, supernatural works like there seem to be in verse 11?
Yeah, we talked about this in Bible study today. And I mean, in one sense, it depends on what you mean about supernatural. But in this, at the same time, verse 12 talks about the works that Jesus does, and we've seen all throughout John, as part of Jesus' ministry, he did many supernatural works. He healed people, he drove out evil spirits, he did many, many great works that were more or less supernatural. Yeah, it sounds like, at least I'm reading from verse 12, that these works are. And even the act of belief in itself is something that's supernatural. Like the power of the Spirit working in a person to come to Christ and put their faith in Jesus is something that's extraordinary and not something that we can do by ourselves.
I think that he's probably picking up on something I was saying, that I think the greater works that we do is the work that are enabled by the coming of the Spirit. You know, he says at the end, because I'm going to the Father, which says particularly the witness of the gospel to the world, the salvation that has been won through Jesus' death and resurrection that is now proclaimed by all of his people. Perhaps the question's implying that merely telling people about Jesus is not as supernatural as healing the blind or making the lame walk, But I think, as you say, Grace, bring people from death to life as they have the Spirit at work within them, as they hear Jesus' voice and receive forgiveness and new birth, is a deeply supernatural work. And so I think that the work is very much supernatural. And as we saw from chapter 15, it's only possible through being connected to Jesus by the Spirit, through being united to the same vine. And so I think the works have the same nature, and I think they all come from God, and they all glorify God as these wonderful supernatural works. Mm. Anything to add, Isaac?
Not much, but yeah, it's pretty amazing that weak people like you and I can proclaim the Scriptures, and people can be brought from death to life. Mm. Like, there's nothing cooler than that.
And which is why we praise God and we thank Him for all that He's been doing amongst us over Easter, as people have been brought from death to life. Mm. I think we're hearing last week of a couple of international students who put their trust in Jesus in the last week or two, and heaven rejoices, and so we should too.
Yeah, super exciting stuff. We, coming to the end, we'll finish up this our time here, and in thinking about next week, Tim, how do we prepare for next week's Bible talk?
Yeah, we've just got 2 weeks left in John. We're going to look at his arrest and trial and death next week in chapters 18 and 19. And then the following week, we'll look at chapters 20 and 21. It'd be great to read chapters 18 and 19 in preparation for next week. And they're very familiar, perhaps, recount of the historical events. It'd be great to think about how John shows us the significance of these events, not just what happened, but what they mean for us. And we'll think a bit more about that next week. But I wonder if a great way to finish up, Isaac, do you want to lead us in prayer, giving thanks for some of the way that God has been at work amongst us, and for the great truths of Easter that we've remembered?
Yeah, sure. Let's pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the work of your Son, people can be brought from death to life. We thank you for the many people who've heard this good news, especially last week during the Easter mission. We thank you for the people who've come to know you as their Lord. We pray for the rest of the term that many students who are evangelizing, sharing the gospel with their friends would continue to do this, and we would all be growing in knowledge of you and of your Son, and growing in love for each other as a response. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in this week to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed on your regular podcasting app. And why don't you check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at campusbiblestudy.org.